Shut up and sit down.
Hey, everybody. This is A Litany of Privilege. I am Jove Bell here with Ashley Bartlett. And today we're talking about the Blue Lives Matter movement, which is interesting. Ashley,
I have feelings.
Yes, I know you have feelings. This was your topic, so why don't you start us off? You said you had a story.
Okay, so you guys know I work at a high school.
I know that.
And I assume at this point our listeners do.
Because I hope so.
Most of our listeners are just my mom. But
good thing you have more than one mom.
I do. I'm not saying which one. She knows who she is. So at school, I have noticed quite a few faculty members have Blue Lives Matter paraphernalia.
What does that mean, paraphernalia? Like bumper stickers and stuff?
One of them has a bumper sticker. One of them was wearing a sweatshirt. I went to a party at one of my colleagues' houses over winter break, and all of her neighbors had little blue lights hanging outside, and I didn't even notice it. And she's like, oh, yeah, there's a lot of Blue Lives Matter people around here, and that's apparently what that means in suburbia if you have a blue light outside of your house. So that's new and weird. But the final straw for me, after I saw the shirt and the bumper sticker, I went to the administration and I was like, listen, I know you guys can't regulate speech, but you might want to have a conversation with these people to let them know that the students of color are going to be very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And the response generally was they are related to people who are police officers, so that's what it means.
Mm-hmm. For them, they're supporting a family member who has a difficult, challenging job that puts them in jeopardy from time to time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I walked past we have an officer stationed on campus.
Yeah.
And I walked past his office, and he has a gigantic Blue Lives Matter flag hanging behind his desk. So most of what he does, other than like walk around and be a police presence on campus, woohoo, is meet with kids who are on probation, who are at the school, because that's an easy meeting place for them. So already these kids are part of the system, and then they've got this police officer that they're meeting with a huge flag behind his desk.
Mm-hmm.
Not an American flag, a Blue Lives Matter flag.
Mm-hmm.
So, I threw a temper tantrum and ordered a Black Lives Matter t-shirt and pin, and I'm just going to start wearing that.
So, here's the thing, right? Like, on the surface, the idea of supporting the police is something that I'm all in favor of. Like, they have a dangerous job. They shouldn't have to be in danger. I mean, they should have to be in danger every time they go to work because that's what they signed up to do. But it doesn't need to be excessive, and they do deserve respect for what they do. You know, on the surface, right? Just taking it at face value. But when you add in all the cultural biases, this is a really, really scary movement. I mean, it's straight up white privilege dressed up in a new wrapper.
Yeah. So let's go back to the origins for a moment and talk about what started Blue Lives Matter.
Yes, please.
It was a direct response to Black Lives Matter. And the best analogy I have heard for Black Lives Matter is it's like you break your arm and you go to the doctor and you say, hey, doc, can you fix my arm? The bone is broken. And he says, well, all bones matter.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, this is the broken one. So could we fix that? And that's kind of the response of all lives matter. We know all lives matter. But right now, black lives are the ones being threatened at astronomical rates compared to other lives.
And not just threatened in the community, but threatened systemically. Like, you know, that's the definition of racism, is that your society has some sort of laws or systems in place that, you know, work against a racial portion of the community. And I didn't say that very well, but these things.
You said it great.
It's a systemic issue, and there are laws in place that make it very dangerous to be a black man in a white world.
And it's cyclical because we have behaviors that also make it difficult. And then those laws back up the behaviors and the behaviors back up the laws. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean the police kill black men at rates that do not compare to any other group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about your uncle who's a cop who's really great or your friend. I'm talking about police as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
As a large, vague group of law enforcement officials, they kill black people at high rates.
Mm-hmm.
And so Black Lives Matter is about that. It's just saying, hey, we don't deserve to die at high rates.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm all for Black Lives Matter. That makes perfect sense. Now, Blue Lives Matter was started in response to Black Lives Matter because there was this perception that police officers are killed at the same astronomical rates.
But that's not true.
It's not true. In fact, they currently we're seeing much lower numbers of police officers who have been killed. And we have seen that in the last 30 years. There's been a dramatic drop in the number of police officers who are killed on duty.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we have not seen a dramatic drop in the number of black people who are killed while existing. What we are seeing are social media videos and posts and news reports that are starting to document those things.
Mm-hmm.
But the behavior is not new.
No. It's not new, but it is far more like noticeable now because as a culture, we are hyper aware of non-lethal alternatives. And mm-hmm. once you know about those, why aren't we using them? Why not?
Rubber bullets hurt like a bitch.
It would get me to stop doing what I was doing.
Bean bags also not great to have shot at you.
Right. And that's the thing. There are all of these alternatives. And I know that there are opportunities or occasions when that's not the appropriate response. But, you know,
absolutely.
When you're walking up to a car and you're afraid that the guy you're talking to is reaching into his glove box to get a gun rather than, I don't know, his registration, which is what you're going to tell him to get, spray the inside of the car with pepper spray if you're really afraid, you know?
Yeah.
Or.
And at worst, you're going to have an irate person who is maybe having an asthma attack.
Right. But that person will, theoretically, live through it, depending upon how bad the asthma is. But
yes,
90% of people will live through that versus, you know, the 90% who will die when you shoot them in the face.
Yes.
No, I was trying to be, you know.
I know. So here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because of my temper tantrum, I wanted to research Blue Lives Matter to make sure that I was understanding the movement.
Okay.
And to see if it meant the things that I thought it meant. So before I researched, what I thought it meant was Blue Lives Matter more than Black Lives.
No.
And I wasn't wrong there.
what it really means?
No, what I found is that Blue Lives Matter is a movement that wants to make it a hate crime to assault a law enforcement officer. So already we have laws in place that make it that increase your punishment if you assault or kill a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
But now they want to make it a hate crime. Hate crimes are about people who have an intrinsic part of their identity. Queer people, people of color, Muslim or Jewish, or something about them that is an intrinsic part of their identity that cannot be changed, that should not be changed. But a police officer, that's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
That's like saying that accountants are under fire and that killing them should be a hate crime. Now, I don't think accountants should die. Accountants do a lot of important things that I don't really understand, but
they involve numbers. I know that.
Yes. And that's why I don't understand them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not a hate crime. That's just regular crime.
Right.
So the Blue Lives Matter movement was started with that specific intent. They have passed legislation in Louisiana. That's the first state that has succumbed to this idea. So there you will face increased punishment if you harm an EMT or a police officer or a fireman or whatever. An emergency responder there are higher punishments attached to those crimes.
Yes, and there should be, frankly, because you're out there to help people. And if, you know, if you're one of those people who wants to commit a crime and then shoot the first responders for showing up, that's shitty. Yeah, that is.
But here's the thing. A, already a fucking crime.
Yes.
And B, why is that worse than killing anyone else?
Okay, well, here's why.
Up for that job.
Here's why I think it's worse, right? So if you are crazy dude who just likes to shoot people at random, which we have far too much of in this country, and you, I don't know, you set off a bomb or whatever, and then EMTs come to help the people who are hurt, and then you shoot the EMTs too because you can. That's shitty because the EMTs are there to help save the other people. That's why it's worse.
Okay, so I also have seen Hunger Games, and I agree with you on that point. You don't set off one bomb and then take out everyone who goes to help. But already, that's on the books. Already, if you hurt a first responder who is there to save people after a bomb, that's mm-hmm. already a worse crime.
Yeah.
It is not a hate crime.
No, I don't think it is either. You and I agree on that.
Yes. And so that is what Blue Lives Matter is predicated on, that it is a hate crime to kill those people or to target those people. And that is fucking bullshit.
It is. I agree. Because as important as I think our police force is, and I do think they're incredibly important, and I think they're being misallocated at the moment, but they're still incredibly important to our society so that we don't have this complete breakdown. It is a decision that people make. And
yes, and it is one that comes with certain benefits to compensate for the risk involved.
Right. And the thing that I think is really important too, as a culture, like if you're the lawmakers in a culture, if you're the ones deciding how important things are and what order we want to give things, if you take a portion of your society and you put them in a uniform and you arm them and then you tell everyone else that the people with the guns are better than you, because frankly, if you're not smart enough as an individual to figure out that the people with the guns aren't people you should be fucking with, then you're just dumb, right? But to be told from the people in power that the ones with the guns in the uniforms are more important and deserve more attention than you do as a regular sentence, you've set up something that is already an imbalance of power, and you've made it that much worse, and you've increased the possibility and the likelihood that the people with the guns are going to become more corrupt, because the more often you tell me I'm better than these other people, the more I'm going to believe you, and I'm going to undervalue the people I'm supposed to be protecting and serving.
Yep.
Yeah.
All the things that you said, I agree with all of them.
There was words. Did you like it?
I loved all of the words.
Mm-hmm. I like words.
And I like that you are focused on power dynamics, because that is the issue. Like, in theory, in a perfect society, fuck yes, police officers are important. They keep the peace. They protect and serve.
Yeah.
But we already have a power dynamic that is imbalanced.
Yeah. Well, and here's the really interesting thing. You know, police cars and, you know, police buildings and all those things, like the reason that we can say protect and serve, just it just, you know, flows off the tongue, is because that was printed on every single police vehicle you ever saw, right? Yep. Only now, if you look at police vehicles, municipalities all over the country are changing the verbiage that's on there. And I don't know what the logic is behind that. I'm sure it's a marketing
campaign.
What
do they say?
They say all sorts of different things. Look, the next time you see a cop car, look at the logo and see what it says.
That's dumb. When you have a brand that works, you should stick with it. That's a different fucking issue.
Well, no, because I don't look at it as a branding issue. I don't think that Protect and Serve is a brand. I think the reason it got changed is because somebody marketed it to be something different. But if you're not taking Protect and Serve seriously as a culture, then evaluate how you're living that as, you know, as a unit. Are you actually protecting and serving? Because the second you take away that message, it would be like taking away do no harm from the Hippocratic Oath, right? Like,
yes.
These are things
like
that are
it's
important.
Kind of a central tenet.
Right. Like, if you don't have at the very forefront of your mind that your job is to protect and serve, then what the fuck else are you going to be doing?
Yes.
So that's my thoughts on that.
And it's also worth noting that these sorts of behaviors have always been present in police forces. Now, I am not saying that all cops are inherently corrupt or bad
No.
or any of those things, but our community, specifically the queer community, has suffered policing from those forces for the entirety of our country's history. When you look at Stonewall, that was a riot against the police. And various factions of police have become, the FBI or the CIA, and they targeted black culture, and I do mean culture, in a very widespread way in the 50s, in the 60s, in the 70s. If you look at MLK, if you look at Malcolm X, they were tar hell, James Baldwin was fucking targeted by the FBI. And they are just an extension of those police forces we have. Now, again, I think a lot of police officers are invested in protecting and serving.
Oh, yes. Yes. I absolutely agree. I feel like, the margin of officers who are interested in protecting and serving is much, much greater. But it only takes one person being an idiot to make the rest of it, make everybody else look bad. That's
Well, and here's
reality.
the thing. We're talking about police officers, individuals. I think that they want to protect and serve. I think that law enforcement agencies do not. I think that police as a monolith do not. I think that they have power that they don't know what to do with, and because of that, they are enforcing standards that they think are correct. And those standards are not necessarily based on laws. And that is a fucking problem.
Yeah, well, the issue is, like you said, they're enforcing laws, which is an idea that's been written down based on somebody's idea of what's right and wrong. And oftentimes, those ideas and those standards stop you from actually looking at what is actually important in an issue. Like for example, I think that vigilante justice, somebody rapes your kid, you should absolutely be allowed to bat them upside the head with a baseball bat. Absolutely. But should you be able to do that any other time? No, that's not nice. It's rude. It's rude to hit people with a baseball bat. Right? So,
But I think we also either need to trust our justice system or not. And trusting the justice system would be assuming that the person who raped your child is going to be brought to justice. They are going to serve their time. Hopefully, if we don't want them to get out and do the same thing, then they will learn something from their time away, whatever. But our system is not set up that way.
No,
So,
we put people in jail in order to teach them how to be better criminals. We don't do
yes.
anything in terms of rehabilitation.
So in our society, vigilante justice, I'm not opposed to. But in a society where the prison system actually works and law enforcement agencies behave the way that they're supposed to, then you don't need vigilante justice. So vigilante justice and arguing for it is a breakdown of our society.
Except for the part where that's it. I had something to say and then it just gone. I don't know what my except was. You can keep talking now.
I think vigilantism looks great in fictional worlds, but hope
Well,
we don't live in a world where that's necessary. We do,
it looks really
but
good in real life too, if you look at like the Pink Sari gang in India,
oh, yes. Yeah,
right?
fuck yes.
That's
But again,
vigilante
we're
justice at
talking
its
about a society
finest.
where the law enforcement agencies are not doing their fucking job.
It's true. It's true.
Just like here, where they're not doing their job.
Yes. I feel like I should have something more valuable to say to that. But I think that, I don't ever want to be seen as someone who doesn't value what the police are doing for us because they're so important to our culture. And I have some very good friends who are police officers. But
Yeah, my brother's straight. I have no problem with straight people.
same kind of thing, yeah. I
I was mocking your point.
I have a problem with straight people. Don't mock my point. Don't mock
me.
Well,
okay, but again, we're talking about individuals. Individuals are good. I think that individuals are inherently good. There are some people who are not, but for the most part, if you take an individual, they will make good decisions for their society, for their friends, for their loved ones, like all of that. But when you take a group, groups are stupid.
Well, part of the issue, in fact, I'm gonna venture to say all of the issue is, okay, so there's this rule of thumb, right, for management, right? So if you're managing your people, if out of 10 people, you have one person who will absolutely steal from you, one person who would never, ever steal from you, and everybody else, you know, the other 8 people on that spectrum, it really depends on what your approach to managing them is, how you care for them as your employees. So it's the same thing with everybody, right? So if you have 10 police officers, one of them's probably a douche and one of them's probably an angel. And the rest of the people in between are going to look to their leadership for how they should behave and what their standard is. And right now we have a culture that's established where protect and serve isn't the basis of, you know, our police force.
Yes, where the brothers in blue are worth more than the citizens they are supposed to be protecting.
Yes. Yes. That's it. That's all I have to say about this. Is that all you have to say about it?
That's all I have to say about it.
Goodness.
Black lives matter. That's what I have to say.
Black lives do matter. All lives matter. But the reason we
don't say that, Jove.
No.
Black lives are the ones
Listen,
in danger.
That's my point. All lives do matter, but because of the way our society is set up and because of the way we as white people have abused our power, we need to make right the injustices that we have served upon the black community generationally.
Yep.
And so that's that is why we get to say things like Black Lives Matter, and saying that anything else matters is, well, it's redundant because society already has it set up that way. You don't need to point it out.
Yes.
Everybody knows it. Anyway, I'm done. I feel like this was
good talk.
Yes. Good talk. Black Lives Matter. We love our local police officers, but we do need to, as a society, do better. Yes?
More? Do better. Yes.
Yes, do better. Don't be a douche. With that in mind... We are A Litany of Privilege. I am Joe Bell, here with Ashley Bartlett. Please like, subscribe, leave a comment, leave a rating, do all of those things. Help other people who aren't douches to find us on the internet, because that's where we're at right now. Anyway, thanks for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Shut up and sit down.